Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday. We do have some news on the Deshaun Watson front. Very slow for the last couple of months, and then all of a sudden it picked up because we found out that Rusty Harden was going to attempt to delay the deposition for Watson. That hearing was yesterday to determine if that would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
The judge technically ruled against Deshaun Watson, but it's complicated. So the goal of the hearing, again, Harden wanted Deshaun Watson's deposition, which was supposed to be today, pushed to April. Harden said he wants this because not all of the 22 women that are a part of that civil lawsuit have been deposed yet. The decision was that by the judge was that Deshaun Watson can be questioned under oath for 9 of those cases. That's because there are 10 cases that are also filed with HPD. So 9 cases for the women, Watson can be questioned under oath for 9 cases for the women that have, number one, already been deposed, and number two, did not file criminal charges. So any of the women that are involved in civil and criminal Watson can't speak on those. But for the women that are a part of the civil lawsuit that have already been deposed, good to go on that. He still got his way a little bit because Rusty Harden is tied up in other cases. So the judge basically said when Rusty is available.
That's amazing.
I mean, the lawyer's too busy.
Right. I mean,
our justice system, right?
Good for you. If you hire the best lawyer ever, that man is essentially a VIP and he can come when he wants and... That is, I guess, in Deshaun Watson's favor. But if you take a look at this right away, it's definitely an L for Watson. Now he is going in these civil cases to take the stand. And I would imagine he's not going to say much of anything when he takes the stand, because anything that in those civil depositions are said there can be used against him in a theoretical criminal deposition. And all it takes is like one little thing to slip out and maybe some person in criminal law here decides, you know what, yeah, let's prosecute him. Let's make an example of him. And I think the average Joe likes it when somebody is made example of, and I feel like someone could win a lot of political points in town if the quarterback who was trying to force his way out of town that also was found to be involved with 22 cases of sexual misconduct. If all of a sudden they make an example of that person might be getting some votes in the near future.
A couple of important things. Rusty Harden said he is confident the criminal situations will be wrapped up by April. Now, there are 10 criminal total. 8 of those women also are part of the civil lawsuits, but two women that have filed with HPD are not part of the civil lawsuits.
I'm drawing a flowchart.
So, yeah, you need a flowchart for this. The other thing that is interesting, and you alluded to this when you said Watson won't say much. Rusty Harden said Watson will most likely use his Fifth Amendment right while criminal charges are still a possibility, meaning you can depose him all you want. He's going to plead the Fifth.
But I think if you go to what Anthony Busby said, this hurts Watson even if he is not hurting himself in a court of law. He's hurting himself in a court of public opinion, and I think that matters from an NFL suspension perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you didn't hear it, Anthony Busby, who was at the deposition, they had like a press conference afterwards. You know, he put his peacock feathers out, and he delivered a grandiose statement. And essentially along the way, he said, like, look, Watson started off by denying all this. So
Right. What
you doing now? You're just not going to answer any of the questions?
From a football perspective, nothing of a delay is good for Deshaun Watson. Now, legally, which I would think matters more for him, is getting his name cleared. Legally, this may be good. More time may be good. Rusty Harden knows what he's doing. It's certainly not his first rodeo. But from a football perspective, the new league year begins March 16th. We're coming upon the combine. And then obviously the draft. And the quarterback carousel is going to move with or without him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, anything that delays this for Deshaun Watson is not good. And then you look at the NFL investigation. That NFL investigation is led by Lisa Friel. She's the former chief sex crimes prosecutor of Manhattan. And the league could do a couple of things. they could say, well, you know what? You sat out a year, time served. I don't think they'll do that. I'm just saying it's a possibility. It would be weak.
And it's 22 cases. You know, if it was like one or two, right, that would be one thing. This, there's no way you hide from this, especially in 2022, where if you hide from this, the NFL is already doing it, like openly admitting to doing it with the Dallas Cowboys. Did you see that yesterday?
That was bad.
The Cowboys, the NFL is like, yeah, we're not going to investigate the Cowboys. Oh, like you didn't investigate Washington football team, really. Okay, gotcha.
Shout out to Don Vanata Jr. from ESPN for that report on the Cowboys. That was yikes. But yeah,
on
I mean,
though.
I think given, what'd you say?
On brand, though.
You're totally on brand. I think anything of a delay is not good for Deshaun Watson because of the timeline. 1 year sitting out, I don't think people think much of. 2 years? At that point, the conversation becomes, will he get rusty? Will he be too tired to compete? At that point, teams have moved on. I'm not saying nobody would be interested in him. Let's make that clear. I mean, 3 years later, people still want Andrew Luck to come back. So Deshaun Watson would find a place to play.
But
would it be for the amount of draft picks?
No.
Would the Texans get as much in return?
And that was the other thing, Vanessa, that we saw yesterday. The haul that the Texans are looking for Deshaun Watson, they said 5 to 7 assets, including 3 first-round picks. 3. I just don't know that you're still getting that. You know, the deal that we talked about that I don't think is necessarily something that actually was floated by the Washington Commanders to the Texans about, hey, we're going to give you Chase Young, the 11th pick, the 42nd pick, and a pick in 2023, a third-round pick or something like that. That, to me, at this point in time, seems more realistic. Now, you should hold out. You should hold out to get a better deal. You really should here. The big thing that I think any team should learn going forward is to go to basketball and compare the way that the Rockets handled the James Harden situation and the Philadelphia 76ers handled the Ben Simmons situation. The Sixers upgraded from Ben Simmons by getting James Harden. The Rockets just did what the online types who are also about player empowerment wanted. You know, I saw this tweet in response to the Deshaun Watson stuff yesterday by some clown who you tweeted out essentially, it's ridiculous that they're holding him hostage. Like the Texans are holding him hostage right now. And I can't believe that someone would say that. He signed a 4 years, $160 million deal.
And he said he wanted out. It's always important to remember that he signed that new deal in 2020 and then wanted out 3 months later in 2021. So
he's tied up.
He wanted out before any of this happened.
Kathy Bates broke his ankles.
Mike Meltzer, radio guy in town who also has a law degree and has just a great, great way of breaking things down. I always say to Mike and other lawyers, explain this to me like I'm 5 years old. Mike does a great job of, he had a great Twitter thread from yesterday's hearings where he explained what was happening, what the judge said, what it means, kind of in layman's terms. He was on our afternoon drive show, The Wheelhouse, yesterday and talked a little bit about the Deshaun Watson situation.
8 or 9 months ago, these parties, Deshaun Watson's side and then Tony Busby, the attorney for all 22 accusers, they agreed on a set of deadlines. And one of the things that they agreed on was, here's how this would work. This is 22 cases that have been kind of confined into one, essentially. So you have a lot of parties. And so how is this discovery going to go in a way that makes sense? And what they agreed to about 8 or 9 months ago is that all of the accusers, all the plaintiffs would sit down for their depositions, and then and only at that point would Deshaun Watson then sit down for his deposition. So in terms of like a flow of information, you would have their entire side of the story before he sat down under oath.
Okay, so again, that was Mike Meltzer on The Wheelhouse giving a little bit of information about the Deshaun Watson situation. So the timeline is now, again, delayed because of the fact that the judge said that, you know, Rusty Harden wanted it delayed. The judge said the only ones that can be delayed are the women that have not been deposed yet. So I think the situation is going to continue, but certainly anything for Deshaun Watson that involves a delay as we approach the beginning of a new league year, I don't think is a good thing football-wise.
Yeah, I don't either. And if the Texans want to get this big haul, they need this done as soon as possible. They need everyone to feel, I think, a little bit at ease when it comes to Watson's ability to play this coming season. And I think right now, you don't know. You really don't. And then on top of that, you have the no-trade clause that's thrown into the mix, too. So I'm with you. I think that nothing coming to light, and this idea that he will go over the course of a calendar year from deny to pleading the fifth. I mean, how do you not punish that if you're the league?
That's going to be something to watch again as Lisa Friel leads that investigation. And we find out more within the coming weeks. Again, Rusty Hardin saying that he is confident that everything criminal will be wrapped up by early April. And he, of course, tends to know. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, more quarterback drama involving late-night posts from Aaron Rodgers, who is scheduled, of course, to appear as he does every Tuesday on the Pat McAfee Show. We'll talk more about that coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, happy Tuesday. We are talking all things quarterback, a lot of quarterback news today. Some of that coming in the form of Aaron Rodgers, who, if you haven't figured it out by now, kind of likes to lead people on.
He loves messing with people.
He loves it, and it is funny.
Do you blame him? There were so many people coming after him with this moral outrage for having lied at the beginning of the season about whether or not he was vaccinated. No, he just didn't answer the question, which I guess you could say is lying.
He was lying, yeah. I don't care where you stand on vaccines, but he lied.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I remember that. I didn't feel upset about the fact that he or any player or any coach or any general manager in the NFL would say something that's not the truth into a microphone, because I'm just so used to it from all of them. They all are full of it. They're never telling you the truth. They're either evading answering tough questions, or they're just saying all the things that they think you want to hear. So when everyone came after him for that, did you think that he was going to be, I guess, more easy, that he was going to be more transparent? Or do you think he was going to just try to create as much chaos as he possibly can as people try to interpret Instagram posts to see whether or not he's going to return to Green Bay next year?
And what an Instagram post it was last night. Aaron Rodgers, he had to have been stoned or drunk or
something. Yeah. Once we get into it, there are many moments where you're like, oh.
Yeah. Here's his Instagram post. It has several pictures attached. Not going to read it all, but it starts out with, here's some hashtag Monday night gratitude. Shailene Woodley, who he allegedly broke up with, but I guess is penning her as one of the important people in his life. Shailene Woodley, thanks for letting me chase after you the first couple of months we met and finally letting me catch up to you and be a part of your life. Thank you for always having my back, blah, blah, blah. Unconditional love, blah, blah, blah. To the men I got to share the quarterback room with every day, Matt, Nathaniel, Luke, Jordan Love, and Kurt, you guys made every day so much fun, and I'm so thankful for the daily laughs and stress relief you brought me every week of the year. I love you guys.
Jordan Love must feel so good about himself right now, because everyone thinks he's not good anymore. No one wants to trade anything less than like a day three pick for him. But at least Aaron Rodgers now likes him.
To the Friday crew, Ada Cobb, Randall Cobb, David Bakhtiari, and Wifey, I loved every moment we got to spend together this year. Your love and support was overwhelming, and I cherish the friendships I have with each of you. To my teammates, past and current, you are the... God, this is so annoying. You are the icing on the beautiful cake we call our job, football.
Why did he think of cake? So this is where I think we could first say, okay, he might have been
he's trolling, something here, right?
Oh,
yeah.
I mean...
And he's high.
What's the first food that you would think of, say...
It's a great point.
You had munchies. I think for me, it would be some version of Oreos. I am a sucker for the gingerbread Oreo cookies. I don't know if you've ever seen these.
Very specific.
Well, yeah, they're Christmas time, and whenever I see them, I buy all of them. And then I eat the like seven boxes I buy, usually in a period of 2 weeks.
To my teammates, past and current, football, cake, blah, blah, blah. I love you guys. Here's where a little retirement. It's in. I love you guys and cherish the memories we've made. To everyone else, spread love and gratitude, you beautiful people, and read a book once in a while, too, while you're at it. Yeah. Love and peace. All right, so definitely seems like he had had a few whiskeys, maybe smoked the reefer a little bit. We'll start with that, and then we'll get into the picture situation.
Yeah, I think he was having a good time.
You know, we could try to read all the tea leaves, but how about we just don't go down that rabbit hole and say, he's messing with everybody. This is so obvious. Look, is he going to announce something substantial anymore? Does he want anybody that the job of which is made easier by him being extremely transparent? Does he want to make their jobs easier when he's probably generalizing all of them? No, absolutely not. I think he's getting a huge kick out of this. He sat back. He had some scotch. Maybe he had, you know, a left-handed cigarette or something like that. Whatever the case, I think he thought, I'm going to mess around tonight. I'm going to be a Pat McAfee tomorrow anyway. I'm going to do my own thing there. And I think it actually is kind of funny. I he's been annoying at times whining about the Packers situation. That's really the only thing that I've been annoyed with Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of years, because they're the best team in the NFL, at least from a win-loss perspective over those last 3 years. But I mean, I think this is kind of funny.
I do think that it can be both. I think he could have been in the fuzzy, warm mood while also knowing, oh my God, this is going to... Because he knows it's going to... He's very smart.
Okay.
He knows it's going to start conversation. Well, I don't think it has to be one or the other.
Let me put you on the spot then. You have to think up a conclusive take based off of this 10-slide Instagram post that reads kind of like a farewell, kind of like a retirement, and like a thanks for the memories.
I think it was genuine.
Okay.
I think it was induced by him having a good time.
Okay.
But I think it was genuine.
Do you think he was trying to say, though, anything else? Like, what do you think he is trying to say
goodbye
with this long post? Bye? Goodbye to who?
Maybe Green Bay.
Goodbye to Shailene?
Well, that's done. That, I mean, she hasn't been wearing that ring since October. Don't you follow us weekly?
No, I don't. I never look at rings. I probably should.
Well, I don't know that you need to. Rodgers, of course, is going to be on Pat McAfee show at 12 noon Central Time. So that's going to be in 40 minutes, and I'm sure. Shout out to Pat McAfee, by the way, who gets all those guests and does a really good job with that. All right, the Texans. Oh, I did want to get into the picture thing real quick. My girl Adriana Torres, who works for WBAY in Green Bay, pointed this out. The last picture on the Instagram slide is the picture from the game that Rodgers did not play in, which was in Kansas City. Rodgers usually stands between Cobb and Adams for the national anthem. This was the game that he didn't play in and didn't travel to. Or didn't play in, so it's the picture, the one national anthem picture, pregame festivities picture that Aaron Rodgers is not in. Why would he post the picture of Adams and Cobb without him when there are dozens of pictures of him with them? That is where your whole he's messing with people absolutely trumps the gratitude thing.
Maybe he wants people to think Aaron Rodgers was, as an American citizen, not allowed to do his own job in that game because of his personal beliefs. And I find that un-American. Maybe that's what he's trying to say with that post.
You're sounding like a lot of the men on the internet. So, Aaron Rodgers, was it trolling or was it not? I do expect Pat McAfee to ask him that. Pat will ask it in a very Pat way so that Aaron will be comfortable answering it. And we'll certainly bring you that when that comes in. All right, the Texans announcing their coaching staff. No Josh McCown.
I was surprised by that.
I was shocked. Not because, and like I tweeted that it was surprising and people completely missed the point. They're like, no, it's not. He has no coaching experience. Dimwits, that's not why it was surprising. It's surprising because he's been a finalist for the job for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lovie Smith likes him. And Jack Easterby is the one that brought in him and integrated some things. When was Jack interim GM after Bill got fired? So we know that people in that building like Josh McCown. That's why it was surprising. Lovie Smith, head coach, Pep, offensive coordinator, Frank Ross, we knew that, special teams. As far as guys that were retained, Danny Barrett comes back as running backs coach. And then you have a lot of Illini. You have, obviously, Miles Smith, the linebackers coach, who is Lovie's son. You have George Warhop, offensive line. So you have a myriad of those Illini connection. Kenyon Jackson, again, Illini, a sense of defensive line. And Sean Baker, assistant special teams. No name that's like overly sexy. Dino Vasso returns as cornerbacks coach, but no Josh McCown.
I thought they might create some sort of super secret role for him. I suppose that they still could do that.
They could.
Assistant to the intern or something like that. I don't believe 100% that the door is closed on him coming back into the organization in some way, shape, or form. But perhaps the door is closed on him being the head coach now officially.
Yeah.
Because if you would think that there's definitely a way where a guy who's a head coach in his mid-60s, sort of like with David Culley, if he's got an assistant like Josh McCown on that staff, then maybe he rises the ranks in the same way that we've seen Kellen Moore over the last couple of years in Dallas, perhaps unearned, in an unmerited way, has risen to those same ranks and all of a sudden is getting paid like millions of dollars as an offensive coordinator when he's not doing a whole lot. Maybe there's a chance that McCown could have been that guy. But if he's not on the staff right now, that is definitely a sign that they're, I guess, serious about the idea of Lovie Smith as a long-term
answer.
They
absolutely are, because what a lot of people thought was Lovie Smith will be the head coach, Josh McCown will come on staff, and within 2, max 3 years, Josh McCown takes over. This kind of eliminates that possibility. It doesn't eliminate, look, the Texans are the Texans. They could do anything, but it certainly says that they let Lovie put together his staff, and I like that. All right, if you own your home, you need to listen up and grab your cell phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are about to deliver huge savings, and you don't even have to talk to one of those annoying agents. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's so obnoxious. But it's not a hassle anymore thanks to TGS Insurance. They built a brand new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text, and you're probably going to save a bunch of money. So take your phone right now, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address, send that back, and within 15 seconds, you get a full quote. It's awesome. It's easy. The company, the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer, guys, from 2021 is saving over $870 on home insurance. Nobody likes to shop for insurance of any kind, especially home insurance, but TGS makes it easiest. You're one text message away from massive savings. So one more time, text money to 232323. Trust me on this. Get your home insurance quote and save big today. All right, we're going to be right back with a possible experiment between the NFL and XFL.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We are rolling along on this Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He's Paul Gallant. I'm at Sports Vanessa on Twitter, and he is at Gallant Says on Twitter, discussing all things today. Watson, Aaron Rodgers, of course, who is supposed to make an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show in about half an hour. We will take you through that and talk about that all day long. Paul, one of the things that we've seen within the last couple of years, a resurgence in some of these football leagues, whether it's USFL, XFL, RIP to the Houston Roughnecks, who were, what, 6-0?
Undefeated.
P.J. Walker. That was, I will
champions
say this.
Champions forever.
Because I was at Channel 2 at the time.
5-0.
That was a really, really fun team to cover.
I was talking with Fred Fowler the other day, and Fred was like, yeah, and people had a really good time at the stadium. And it drives me crazy that the Houston Gamblers season, all of the games are going to take place in Birmingham this year. The whole USFL season is in Birmingham. It's not going to be here in Houston. I don't know why, but
so they're not having games here.
No, they're not.
Yeah, see, that's a huge bummer. That doesn't even really do anything for the city except for provide some merchandise that nobody's going
to
buy.
I'm not. Look, I'll go to games like this. Watching it on TV, it's just going to be a different experience because I'm going to be like, okay, it's not the same. But I enjoy going to football games. I miss going to football games and watching them in a traditional fan fashion, because now when I go, I'm in the press box and it's just different. I like going to a game and getting rowdy. It's fun. It's a have a good time with friends, and especially if the weather is really nice, if you're doing this during the spring and the summer, oh, that's fantastic.
Keep in mind at the time that the Roughnecks were the best, probably, I mean, with everything the Astros were going through and then the Rockets and then the Texans, like, the Roughnecks were the real deal.
I remember going to a bar here in Houston. I want to say it was like Bobcat Teddy's or something, and I'm there watching the game, and a bunch of people started chanting, "Drill, baby, drill." And I just joined in on it. And the whole bar was just yelling, "Drill, baby, drill." It was awesome. And, but yeah, it was like, what, 3 weeks later? I think the last thing I went to in Seattle where people were allowed outside for months was a Dragons game. And it turns out that someone that was working concessions had the vid and was like, you know.
Oh, no.
So that wasn't good. They didn't want that to get out. Whoops, it did. And yeah, everyone kind of panicked.
I was at the NFL Combine, and one of the coaches I knew was like, I cannot come out of my room because I feel so sick. It must be the flu.
Oh, no.
2 weeks later, we knew it was not the flu. But I digress. XFL and NFL joining forces, kind of. So this was announced yesterday.
Right.
That the XFL and NFL have agreed on a collaboration to innovate together on game rules, officiating, health and safety, and more. And you saw some of this last year. People liked the XFL's rules. Now, I don't know that the NFL is going to change a bunch of rules, but people liked that Diana Russini could grab a player right after he made a play. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was innovative. What's your take on this?
I liked that the XFL, both with the little return that it had for a couple of weeks, and also the original XFL, have always been pretty innovative. And, you know, you don't have the camera hanging over the field sky cam that you do without the XFL originally coming onto the scene. Now, obviously, some other things didn't work out so well. I do kind of like the idea of the, you know, determining possession by just rolling the ball out. Like, that might be a better solution.
Fun.
That might be a better solution for overtime, honestly, than a coin toss. You know, I might be a little violent, but I'm all for this. And I think especially when it comes to some serious rules, like, we got to figure out how to properly do overtime because everyone constantly whines about it. I feel like the best way to do it is just to have a 10-minute period. And they don't want that. They want to have sudden death to, I guess, like, cut down on 5 minutes of game action to make players' lives a little bit less stressful in the week afterwards, especially if they're playing on a Thursday night or something like that. But I'm of the belief that you just play a quarter like that. But there also might be some other things that could be potentially floated. So this is smart move by the NFL to do something like this. And honestly, I think that the next step is, and I know that they're not saying this is going to be a developmental league, but I think a developmental league would also be huge.
Is that the rule that people are the maddest about other than PI?
I think so right now, especially with the way that it seems like certain teams, you're just unstoppable. You know, the Bills and the Chiefs, it really was a matter of who was going to get the ball last. With the way that that game ended, I mean, shoot, what, 12 seconds? Are you really expecting?
It's one of the best games of the last 30 years.
It was incredible, but also defenses, I mean, they're tired, they're worn out at the end of the game. So I'm actually of the belief, if we're going to talk about some of these rule changes, all the rule changes, Vanessa, that I want to see, they're all geared towards defenders. The first one is, I think that the five-yard contact rule needs to not be enforced anymore. I think we've gotten to a point now where wide receivers have so many rules in their favor that what the hell is a defensive back supposed to do? You know, you can't rough these guys up downfield. Why not? Why not bring a little physicality back to the game? It's not like these guys are getting hurt or anything like that. That rule came into effect because Bill Polian was very influential on the rules committee, and you could make an argument that in that 2004 AFC championship game between the Patriots and Colts, that there was a little extra grabbing going on. But the byproduct of what's taken place since then, I think that it's become so offensive-oriented that defenses don't have a chance. I have some other crazy rule changes that I would propose, but that's my big one. I want to get rid of the five-yard contact rule.
What are some of the other ones? I'm interested.
Well, the other ones are, I want to get rid of sliding. I hate it when players slide. I hate that a quarterback or a player can just give themselves up. I hate that you can run out of bounds. I feel like, you know what? No, you should have to fight for every single yard you can get. Oh, wow, you can just, like, get in the fetal position if you're Torrey Holt or Marvin Harrison or something like that. No, go for the extra yard.
Say it again.
Well, yeah, I won't say it again. I don't want Marvin on my bad side. You know, we did go to, you know, he is a Syracuse guy after
everything,
all.
Everything
being equal.
Marvin being able to withstand somewhat of a reputation will always be one of the biggest flexes of having had no social media back then. And
yeah,
I will leave it at
seriously,
that.
Yeah. You know, he got a car wash, that's for sure. I want to get rid of all the things that baby quarterbacks do. Look, I get the rule about, you know, maybe diving low at a quarterback, but some of the roughing the passer stuff is just so stupid at this point in time. You know, someone getting slapped in the head. Are we serious? That's a personal foul every single time? Like, sometimes, yes, it should be. Sometimes, say someone, Juwan Howard, somebody else, or they just, Miles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, fine. But if we're talking about, like, a guy is going up, his hands are extended for a pass, and his hand touches the quarterback's head on the way down, and it clearly didn't cause any harm. Like, you've worn a helmet. Coaches will smack you on the helmet when you do something good. Clearly, it's there to protect you. Are we really going to act like that's so scary for a quarterback? Seeing Brady whine about it after countless plays annoys me. It's like, back in the 80s, back in the 90s, these guys were tough as hell. They were getting killed out there. They couldn't move. You know, pass rushers were better.
I'm miss the days of concussions.
I guess I do. I don't know. Vanessa, all the rules I want, though, they would, because I like defenders. I feel like defenders have an uphill battle. And all my rules would be to help out the defense.
I don't doubt that at all. NFL and XFL reaching an agreement to be innovative with rules, et cetera. It'll definitely be interesting to see.
Yeah. Are there any rules that you would like to see instituted in the NFL?
I think the main thing, noticing the overtime and how much, again, like you said, that's why Josh Allen, when the Bengals lost the coin toss. Now, the coin toss.
The coin toss. I don't know where that's coming
when
from.
The Bengals lost that, Josh Allen tweeted, pain. So definitely the overtime rules. The pass interference is absolutely ridiculous.
Would you be cool with challenging pass interference?
Yes.
I actually would be here,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Because I think that there are
so many BS calls on that.
Pass interference has such a different weight as far as penalties go. And if you're keeping the same amount of challenges per game, a penalty that could be 50 or 60 yards should absolutely be looked at a second time. Because sometimes the ball is uncatchable. Now, it might stop game action, and if we're getting in the last 2 minutes of a game, then that's where it gets a little bit dicey. And maybe that's something that where in the last 2 minutes of the game, yeah, you're still making a challenge if you're going to challenge a play by a call by the refs. But I would like that. And also, you know, this I think kind of goes with it, Vanessa, maybe a little bit more objectivity from referees when it comes to looking at specifically spot of ball calls. How many times will you see a coach throw a challenge flag because of the spot of the ball where they're probably right, but it doesn't get changed at all?
It's also the biggest gripe I think people have with rules is the inconsistency.
Yep.
You can watch two games and see the same play and the same thing happen, and they are drastically, and look, I hate blame the ref guy.
I do too.
But
they get annoying.
The NFL, it was pretty bad this year.
Rockets fans in particular are very bad with blaming the refs. I blame Bill Worrell. Happy retirement, Bill. And I sometimes blame Ben DeMose, who I like, but good God, dude. Like the war against the refs, it's a lot. And guess what, guys? Speaking of... No, I don't have anything. I'm sorry.
Can you make that
Speaking
transition?
Of war, Mardi Gras is like a war on your liver, am I right? Join us for the 111th celebration of Mardi Gras. Galveston is the third biggest Mardi Gras in the country. Two full weekends of family-friendly fun, 22 parades, 15 balcony parties. What? Balcony parties. That sounds amazing. 22 live concert venues as well. You're going to have 3 million beads. I saw a viral video, by the way, yesterday, someone just getting pelted by beads. She's like on the ground. I don't know if that was a joke. Don't pelt someone with beads on the ground, please. A live performance by Three Doors Down. If I go crazy, Signo, Matt Stell, others, plus a special Fiesta Grand Marshal appearance by Texans defensive lineman Roy Lopez. The full schedule and more info, MardiGrasGalveston.com, MardiGrasGalveston.com. General admission tickets start at $16. Buy your tickets online or the day of the festival, MardiGrasGalveston.com. And guess what? You can win tickets right now. Here's how you do it. Call in 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller number 5. Guess what? You're going to Galveston. So do it. Do it now. Anyway, it's Vanessa and Gallant on 97.5 and 92.5 ESPN. We wrap things up after this.
Great job. Great job.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Well, as much as fun I had at the Super Bowl, somebody had a little bit more fun. Rams wide receiver Van Jefferson. Not only did he get a Super Bowl ring, but his second child was born. He had to watch it via FaceTime, if you've seen the viral video.
Whoa, wait. Yeah, so he had to watch it.
Yes, because if you see the viral video, the Rams public relations lady walks up and says, this is after the Rams have won. Van, you need to get to the hospital. Your wife is in labor.
Oh, okay.
So she had left during the second quarter.
So I'm guessing they showed a picture of, you know, like of the baby being held or something like that.
I don't know details, and childbirth makes me uncomfortable, so we are not going to ask. Jefferson rushed.
Okay, I won't die.
Yeah, no. Jefferson rushed from SoFi Stadium to the hospital after learning that his wife was in labor, cutting a celebration. celebration with the team in order. Unfortunately, traffic prevented him from getting to the hospital, but he watched from the car on FaceTime. After the dust settled from the heck, nope, not going there, Jefferson revealed the name of his son, Champ. That wasn't always the planned name, but after the way everything happened on Super Bowl Sunday, says USA Today, it was only appropriate to go with Champ.
So he's going to be the next Champ Kind at Channel 4 News in San Diego. Champ is a name that I think is great in the moment. I don't think it has the long-term life that he'd want. Because how many times have you heard someone say, hey, Champ? I mean, it's a patronizing term, you know?
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey. That's true, Tyler. But Champ Bailey is a Hall of Fame NFL cornerback. I'm sure that the way up for Champ Bailey might have been a little bit difficult.
I also think that what if your kid decides to be like a musician or work in marketing instead of being an athlete, and his entire life it's like, you're the kid that was born the day your dad won the Super Bowl. The nation knows you. Your name is Champ. What do you do? I work in an investment firm. It's a lot of pressure.
I work at Foot Locker.
Right. They could have given him like a different
first. Why not Champs?
Great point.
Yeah, that's true. Great point.
They could
I'm a TikTok star.
They could have given him
30 followers.
A, like, you know, Jason Champ Jefferson and then let him decide for himself.
Champ would have been a better middle name because I looked this up because I wasn't 100% sure after Tyler brought up Champ Bailey, which is a great one. So Champ Bailey's first name is Roland. So,
yeah, good.
So I wonder if when Champ became a name, I imagine it became a name when he was probably killing everybody because he was, I mean, for those who don't remember Champ Bailey, Champ Bailey's one of the best players that we've seen in the last 20 years in the NFL. He was an unbelievably good corner. But I look at that name, I think of Russell Wilson naming his kid Wynn, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little indulgent. Now, again, we're not supposed to roast kids' names, but guess what? I think it's kind of fun. I think there's a lot of bad names
out
there.
I think you can roast names because it's the parent that named them.
Yeah.
I don't think
just do it behind
roast,
their backs.
I don't think you should roast actual children, like when SNL was like mean to Chelsea Clinton and all of that. And,
oh, okay. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, some children are terrible, so, you know, I mean.
You're going to be a great dad.
Well, I mean, if I know my kid is terrible, then it'll, at the very least, I'll, you know.
Just stick with cats.
Knowing is half the battle. Okay, I'll stick with cats instead. A lot easier, that's for damn sure.
Stick with cats and going on Bumble dates. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant as we wrap things up. All right, Van Jefferson's baby, cute story. Meanwhile, shocker, AB, mad at TB.
So, I thought, when all the rumors were coming out about where Antonio Brown's going to sign, and the Bucks hadn't signed him yet, the Seahawks were supposedly in on him, a bunch of contender teams were in on him, I thought to myself, I don't want to not sign him because of him trying to throw an ottoman off of a balcony and almost smashing a toddler. The sexual assault allegations, the time he farted in a doctor's face.
Not the same thing.
All there's like a long list of things that are just, it's very clear Antonio Brown's like the worst.
Issues.
Like, forget issues. He's just the worst. You know, he had that terrible music video. I got a whole lot of money, whole lot of money, whole lot of money, whole lot of money. I mean, he released a song when he quit in the middle of the game against the New York Jets as well, if, in case you didn't know. It's on his Spotify. Actually, it was better than Whole Lot of Money, if we're going to be honest. But I thought the reason that this would not work out is that if Antonio Brown goes anywhere and there are other good wide receivers, he will flip his bleep over not getting the football. Because he just is that guy. He is obsessed with having the ball in his hands every play. So remember, it was about injuries and how Bruce Arians was trying to make him play through an injury? Well, we found out through Mike Evans that apparently Antonio Brown was just asking to get the ball more. And when Brady, I guess, didn't give him the ball every single down, Brown lost his mind. Brown has done this several times before, most notably in a game, I think it was against the Kansas City Chiefs. Vanessa, he was targeted 17 times during the game, and he threw a temper tantrum during the game. He was targeted 17 times! Insane!
My issue with Antonio Brown is that you can't even sort out
what's the biggest issue?
We've already forgotten that the night before he left the middle of the Bucks game, he told an Instagram model as she like licked his toilet that he was going to do this. I mean, so
as she licked his toilet.
Yes,
did she admit to that?
You need to Google it. You missed this whole thing. Yeah, it was an Instagram model that was like got famous for weird things.
I mean, well, yeah, that's
OBJ that's type
weird.
Deals.
Very weird. OBJ.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to dissect with AB, but no shock.
She was dissecting that toilet seat, yeah.
We've also talked about the fact that Tom Brady let Antonio Brown stay with his children.
I know. I can't believe that. I mean,
that's a lapse in judgment for Giselle, too.
I mean, do you think Giselle actually wanted that?
Here's my take. Rich, like very, very wealthy people, it's not like somebody staying on your couch. He probably has an entire wing of his house dedicated to guests. Like, own room, own bathroom, own office. So it's not like Antonio Brown was probably with his children all the time. Still.
It's the same house.
In the same house.
What, are they locking him? They locking him in at night like he's a
Maybe.
Toddler? Like, all right, you're locked in your room tonight. No getting out. No sleepwalking. I mean, I would barricade that door. It would be barricaded. I do not want that guy strolling around the town or my house or anywhere near me, to be perfectly honest.
Meanwhile, Pat McAfee, his show will begin at noon. You should not listen to that. You should listen to the Killer Bees. But Aaron Rodgers, what?
They're going to have it. They're going to have what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. I'm very curious as to how Joel is feeling on this day. Joel Blank, noted Packers fan. Because
at Pac-Man Joel.
Right. I mean, that Instagram post was something else. But again, he's messing with everybody. Do you think we're going to have anything concrete that's different than what we know about Aaron Rodgers other than he's weird and he likes to mess with people and he kind of has a mullet going on right now?
I think that if anybody can get anything out of Aaron Rodgers, it's Pat McAfee. That's why I think it's noteworthy.
But I feel like what we'll get is going to be Aaron Rodgers saying, yeah, I was messing with the media last night. And then Pat McAfee is going to be like, ha, classic. And then they're going to laugh and have some giggles.
I think that if anybody can get anything authentic out of Aaron Rodgers, I'm a little bit more of a Pollyanna than you in that I think that he did actually genuinely feel some gratitude. But I think he packed that last picture as a little punch in there. The one where, of course, he's not standing between Cobb and Adams.
I'm sure he actually does feel some gratitude. Yeah. I don't think he is so socially awkward where he doesn't have feelings for other human beings. I don't feel that way about him. I think he actually is honestly pretty adept and savant when it comes to things like that. But I also think, like, for the most part, this whole post was largely designed to mess with people. And you know what? Good for him. I get a kick out of it. And especially seeing all these people, like, go through hula hoops to figure out, well, what does this mean? I enjoy it.
It definitely gives us something to talk about, us talking heads. All right, coming up, the Killer Bees, Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great one.
So long, farewell. You'll hear us tomorrow. Bye.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!